What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Kalal, and we are Atlanta Zone, two Atlanta natives recapping the funeral that was in Atlanta professional sports with wacky-ass hijinks and depression. Adam, how's it going, sir?
That's going to be the only laugh we get this entire episode. How do you think it's going, Graham? You answer for me.
Well, you know, I don't know how to feel today, Graham. We're going through some painful losses with the two teams that we care about the most, one of which we had no hope for, the other of which we did. And I just don't really know what to talk about.
I really don't. good on you. You nailed me, Graham. This is the episode that we all hoped we wouldn't have to do, but we all kind of knew that we would have to do as well, because we live in Atlanta.
Sure.
And here we are. There's a lot to go through. Oh, and I see Graham has thorough show notes this week, which
first time in years
is a little upsetting, because I was hoping that we would gloss over a lot of this and forget most of it and just let it die until like 5 years from now when we watch YouTube videos of the recap of this just for shits and giggles.
I don't think I'll be revisiting this series very much, like most series that we don't win, which is all of them since 2001. This series loss to the Cardinals has made me it has ensured that I will never get excited for another playoff series again for the Braves. Like, never. It's not like I won't watch it. It's not like I won't be into it, but I won't be, like, hopeful at all or expect anything. I was trying to approach this series like that, especially the first two games. But once we won that game three, all of that, because that was such a great comeback with Duvall and Dansby doing all that damage to Martinez, in the ninth inning, and coming off Soroka's just incredible performance. At that point, once game four was going, I was like, all right, I'm all in. I don't care. I'm throwing all my hopes and dreams into the next game. We got to win it. We don't want to come back here. Like, I was so pumped for game four. And because we, you know, shit the bed.
And that's the first time I think we've had a lead in a series since 2002.
Yes, 2002. We also blew a 2-1 series lead to the Giants.
It's easy to get ahead of you. I mean, I was thinking ahead already. I was like, oh, hell yeah, man. This sets up perfect. We got Soroka set to go game one against the Dodgers now. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't quite happen like that, Graham.
Yeah. I don't know if I was necessarily looking that far ahead, but I was definitely like, I was always emotionally invested, but I was confident for the first time in my life. Not in my life, but since I was 11, 13, 14, whatever. I was actually confident that the Braves would win a series and that we would actually be able to do something for once. But instead, it's the same old story. It's true to Atlanta, classic Atlanta bullshit that bit us in the ass. Game five was sort of this shitstorm that just slapped us across the face. I mean, I was literally sitting in traffic listening to the game and trying to get home. And for the moment, I was on Motors Industrial Way, which is this little shitty road that's parallel to 285 to eventually get onto 285. I was sitting there for 10 minutes at a red light. And from the time I was there to the time I got on 285, we were already down 5-0. And I was like, what in the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, that was, I mean, one funny story from, we were at the Glenwood all excited to watch this game. And Philly John pointed out that some guy came in, older gentleman wearing a Braves shirt, came in. It was already like 9-0 at this point, but, you know, 20 minutes after the game started, so you'd assume it's still a ball game. He comes in, sits down at the bar, pulls out his cigarettes, clearly settling in for about 3 hours of watching baseball and drinking. And then after he gets all his stuff situated, looks up at the TV, sees the score, just gets quiet for a second and quietly picks his things back up, puts them back in his pocket, walks out the door.
Oh, God.
It's how we all felt. But yeah, what a shit show. I mean, for all, I don't know if you want to go in order in this shit.
You can bounce around.
But for all this shit to come down to Freddie, who had already had a terrible series, botching that ground ball that looked like a tailor-made double play that would have ended the inning 1-0, and who knows where we are right now.
Right.
Like, if that's a 1-0 ball game, we might knock some of those runs in. Like, it's a completely different...
Well, yeah.
There'd actually be pressure on, what's-his-face?
Flaherty.
On Flaherty. And, yeah, you just never know. So, for us to just be out of it after the first inning is just a travesty.
Not even after, like, in the first inning. Literally, not even when the first inning's over. And not even a third of an inning, the game is over.
And Folty didn't look that terrible to me. It was just like... You could just feel the momentum slipping away. And then Fried came in and sucked even worse than Folty.
Which was crazy, because he had been such daggers in the games that he had pitched in.
Well, the first two.
That's what I mean.
Okay, he pitched in... Oh, no, he did not pitch in Game 3.
Which was... We'll get to that later.
No, he pitched in Game 3 and wasn't that good. He didn't pitch in Game 4.
Oh, that's right. He didn't pitch in Game 4. Yeah, you're right. He didn't pitch terribly or anything. It's not like he gave up a run.
But he wasn't the same thing. He was in Game 1 and Game 2.
No, he wasn't. But, yeah, that Game 5 was something else. At least, and at the very least, we were just slaughtered. And it wasn't like we, you know, choked away a big lead like you'd expect us to, or losing some sort of heartbreaking... Well, I guess we did lose in a heartbreaking error in the sense that Freddie could, you know, if he makes that play like you were saying, but...
9 runs! How ridiculous! Have we given up more than 6 runs in an inning all fucking year?
No, I don't think so.
10 runs is ridiculous! The way the last one scored on our now-retired catcher... I mean, I think that's the moment when he decided to retire, when he basically couldn't stand up and just fell over in, like, embarrassing fashion.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just perfect.
Yeah, that was like a nice little button on the end in there. But it shouldn't even come down to that, Adam. We should have... I mean, this thing could have been over in 4 games. Easily. And I don't know where to start, really. I mean, like, we look at... I mean, think about what the Cardinals did in this series. You know, Game 1... Everybody looks like shit. Like, they're the best defensive team in the league, collectively. They make all these errors in Game 1. We got a 3-0 lead. We could have had more runs.
Yeah, first inning of Game 1, we should have knocked in more than one.
Yeah, Acuna walks. I think Ozzie walked after that. But unfortunately, Acuna was thrown out trying to steal on Yadier Molina with no outs, which was stupid. What was even dumber was Freddie got a single, one of his 4 hits in the series, in that first inning, and Acuna would have scored on that play. That could have made up the difference in the game. So, I mean, as great of a series that Acuna had offensively, and I'm not putting the series loss on him at all, but the postseason comes down to little things like that making huge, huge difference.
Keep in mind that Acuna was running on his own accord there. He was not given the steal sign.
Yeah. And I'm okay with him having the green light, but he has to have, you know, he has to have the wherewithal to realize he's going up against one of the best defensive catchers ever. And there are no outs. And if you get thrown out in that scenario, you have literally castrated your offense in a way. Completely.
Well, I don't know about literally.
I mean, I'm just saying, though, you take the momentum out. You know, the Mikolas was feeling the pressure there. He, you know, he walks... Acuna walks Ozzie because of a hit to Freddie. I mean, like, there were... It's just like that could have snowballed for us in a positive way. True. But Acuna takes the momentum away because he just gives the Cardinals an out.
Yeah, Mikolas looked like a loser pitcher out there. Like, he looked like we should have jumped all over that guy.
Yeah, him and Dakota Hudson, we should have slaughtered. I mean, he did score 4 runs off of Hudson, but whatever. I mean, it's not a... Anyways, back to Game 1. It was kind of like, you know, and the Cardinals make all these errors, and it was just crazy. And we were up 3-0, and then it was like, it reminded me of the 2010 series against the Giants, when Billy Wagner pulled his oblique, I think, in Game 3, the game we won over there. And we come back for Game 4, he's not available. A little different in this scenario, but Chris Martin comes out to pitch, I believe, the 7th inning. And he doesn't get a chance because he pulls his oblique. And who replaces him? None other than America's hero, Luke Jackson, who promptly gives up a homer to Goldschmidt and has a shitty inning. And then Mark Melancon.
There you go, Graham.
Said his name right.
Now that the season's over.
Has a horrible game one. And it all just sort of cascaded from there. And it's just like, it seems like either we self-destruct or someone gets hurt when they shouldn't have. Or it's just all these things happen or we don't execute. It feels like it always comes down to the way we lose. It feels like it always comes down to us just totally fucking up. And it's not the other team that does anything that great. It's just us.
That Chris Martin thing really did hurt, because how many runs were we up at the time?
We were up 3-1.
3-1, and we had it set up perfectly for Martin,
Green,
Melancon.
Melancon, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if Melancon doesn't have to come in the eighth inning, he might pitch better, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
He came in with guys on.
And then Martin being hurt means Julio Teheran gets back onto the postseason roster, and who gives up the... tenth inning runs, Julio Teheran in game four.
Well, he shouldn't even been in that position, in my opinion.
But he was.
He
wouldn't have even been on the roster.
No, it wouldn't even been an option. You're exactly right. So that's the kind of shit you can't control. The Cardinals also hit a ridiculous amount of balls that were just like right over the third or first base line, or these little bloop bullshit hits. One of like Carpenter in game one hit a little blooper down the line, left field line, that Duvall couldn't get to, but he made a hell of a play to throw. I can't remember who was trying to score the second run, but the game was tied at that point, and you just felt in my heart, I was just like, God damn it, here we go again.
I didn't fully read the article because I've been boycotting all sports the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about Major League Baseball? Because remember, we set all types of records this year with home runs, with these new bullshit balls that they have that
they
fly
everywhere.
They changed them up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
How many fucking balls did we hit to the fence?
A lot. Yeah.
That would have been gone with the space balls.
Yes. I don't know why they... I mean, just do it next year.
Yeah, you don't change it up.
You play like this the whole year. It's stupid.
That's why all of a sudden there's like great pitching matchups where we haven't had those all year.
Yeah. Just do that next year, you fucking losers. It's like... It always
comes back to hurt us, Graham.
Yeah, it's always like the wild card game, which I hate, because baseball is predicated on a game of series the whole year. You play a series, your goal is to win the series. And it should make sense that in the playoffs your goal should be to win another series to beat a team to advance. Which it is for the most part, with the exception of the wild card game, which is just one game. Even if it was a best of three series, at least it's like you're following the rules of baseball kind of thing. It's just another way for Major League Baseball to make it more convenient for them the time being. You know, people want those high stakes, high leverage pitchers duels in the postseason, whereas in the regular season, to keep everyone interested because now everyone's watching every game, it's like, oh, let's let everybody hit. Let's have guys, you know, let's let every Major League team set a record for home runs because we'll juice these balls or whatever they did. It's fucking bullshit. Baseball is another soulless corporate enterprise just designed to fuck with Atlanta, as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, at least we stuck it to them in game five by giving up 10 runs, so making that, they probably lost a lot of viewers in that game.
Yeah. We said fuck
five
you guys.
10 runs without any home runs.
Without any home runs.
Who can do that?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing that was crazy to me about this series, too, is that the only guys who really did anything outside of game five was Goldschmidt and Ozuna. Every other Cardinal had a terrible offensive series. Until like game five. I know Molina had the game-winning sack fly and that bullshit hit off.
The one just half an inch over Freddie's glove.
Which if he makes, we probably win that game and we're not even having this conversation.
And
we're
getting ready for Soroka versus Anibal Sanchez, as Hugo was nice enough to point out.
Oh, that would have been so great. But instead...
On a Friday night.
It's the worst.
Instead, we get the most depressing podcast we've ever had to do.
Yeah.
No, we did one after the Super Bowl.
No, we actually, our show started like 2 months after the Super Bowl, so we were able to at least...
Really?
Yeah, at least get our... We were able to at least, you know, be a little more mentally there.
Okay.
Wasn't as depressing.
So this is probably the most depressing one.
Probably is. So I view this, even though there's a lot of way, you know, fingers, you can point your finger at a number of different folks to blame, but I view this whole thing as a collective failure. The middle of the order sucked. Let's break it down, shall we? Freddie hits 200, and that is being kind, because in the games that actually mattered, he sucked.
Yeah, and any chance he had to win a ball game for us, he struck out and looked terrible.
Yeah, which was multiple times. I mean, think about Acuna gets on base 16 times and only scores once. And think of all the times Freddie had to knock him in, especially in that Game 4 Cardinals game. Acuna gets a leadoff triple. No one can get him in with zero outs.
That's atrocious.
Then in the ninth inning, he gets a leadoff double. No one can knock him in. Zero outs. It's ridiculous. So Freddie hits 200 with a walk and a home run. Donaldson, 158, two walks and a home run. Markakis, 143, one walk. And all his slash lines were below 200. So like sub 200 on base, sub 200 slugging. Awful. McCann hit 188. The only guys that really did anything of consequence was Acuna, Albies, Duvall, who was the last person I was expecting to be a hero, and Dansby. That was it. Everyone else was garbage.
Why did Brian McCann start every game?
Great question. I mean, McCann, I will say this. I think he calls a better game than Flowers. I don't know enough about Cervelli to have an opinion there. But, you know, think about what game one, he got an opposite field double. And he got another hit in game two.
He was probably starting every game because of that double that he had in game one.
But
poor Flowers gets one at bat.
Yeah.
When it's a 13-1 ball game, laces a single.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could have. It was also probably that lefty-righty bullshit that everybody falls back into. But the thing is, like, the whole season you had done. And also, maybe they were concerned about the defensive deficiencies that Flowers has. You know, all those pass balls he had all year.
Well, that backfired.
Well, McCann didn't have, like, really a bad defensive lapse until the game was already over in game five. So, I mean.
Yeah.
If, you know, you put a gun to my head, I would have probably done the same thing, honestly. As much as McCann was struggling catching, I still would have probably started him just for the defense is better than Flowers. Even though I know Flowers is good at framing pitches and all that, it's just like he lets too many balls get past him, which you can't afford. Unfortunately, it didn't really matter at the end of the day. Like we said in the preview show, if the middle of the order doesn't do their job, we will lose. And that's exactly what happened. Because even when the middle of the order sucked, we still almost won. We were one Freddie Freeman leaping catch on that bullshit Molina hit. All those fucking Cardinals runs were, so many of them were bullshit little hits where they're getting jammed and they just go with it the other way. And they're not even hit that hard. With the exception of Goldschmidt and Ozuna. It's like all their other stuff were pop-ups and little things that were just hit in the right place at the right time. Classic St. Louis crap.
God, I hate that team. And it just sucks the more that the Nationals end up winning and they get to play this shitty St. Louis team and are probably going to look great against them.
Yeah, they'll probably go to the World Series. Ugh. That's why winning the division doesn't fucking matter. That's why every time I win the division, I don't care. Because it's like, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
It matters because you don't have to play that wild card.
You don't have to play that wild card, but I'm just saying, you can still thrive as a wild card if you have your shit together.
The Nationals lucked out to win that wild card game as well.
True. But I'm just saying, like, it's not, everybody always reacts, like, with the division, like, oh, in the division. I'm like, I don't give a shit. What are you going to do in the playoffs? That's all that matters. And we didn't do shit. Again.
What matters for us, because we know there's no way in hell an Atlanta team's ever going to win a one-game playoff.
I guess that's true.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to game one for a second. Luke Jackson. Before Luke Jackson. Chris Martin's called in, which makes sense. But would you have thrown Fried out again for another inning after how good he looked in game one?
Yeah, I would have. I thought he was going to.
Yeah, I was kind of confused by that scenario.
I was confused by a number of times where they didn't keep the pitcher in. Mainly my boy Josh Tomlin.
Josh Tomlin looked fantastic. I hate to admit it, but he did.
And all the players Graham has said aren't major league caliber players were the only ones that stepped up in the playoffs.
How crazy is that? Matt Joyce was also a loser in this series.
Yeah. I think I said Matt Joyce was going to go down in history for being like
one of those postseason unlikely heroes. Mark Lemke.
That was a terrible take. On my part.
On paper, it looked good. He slaughters right-handed pitching all year. I think he got one hit in game two, and that was it.
I'm just so depressed, Graham. Like, so many things that could have... Not to interrupt you here, but...
Yeah,
like,
no, go.
Just, like, even with, like, Culberson and Camargo being out. Who knows what happens if we have those guys around?
Mm-hmm. Well, your boy Adam Duvall probably doesn't make the roster.
That's true. That's a good point. But I don't know, man. It just sucks.
It does. It was, I will say that there were some really nice moments, at least, that we had, if you want to try to put some sort of silver lining on it, even though it doesn't really matter at this point. Adam Duvall pinch hit home run, even though I hated the move, it was very exciting. Just because Folty was pitching the game of his life and we threw 81 pitches.
And we were at that game, Graham.
We were at that game.
That was beyond awesome.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Mike Soroka's and Folty's performance in game 3 and Folty's performance in game 2 were tremendous pitching performances. The Adam Duvall and Dansby coming in the ninth inning, we were down 1-0, looking like we're going to lose the hard fought game in game 3. That was the most exciting inning since 1999 when Eddie Perez was hitting home runs to become the NLCS MVP. I mean, that was the most excited I've been as a Braves fan in God knows when. So that was nice. I want to throw some shade though at, Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
I still will go back and I'll say this on my deathbed. Your best pitcher all year, and I said this beforehand, this is not hindsight, it's 2020. Your best pitcher is Soroka. I want him pitching as many times as he can in a 5-game series. Only pitched once, and he was unbelievable. And you can look at all those home-road splits all you want, but let's not forget, Keuchel's ERA this year on the road and his whip were terrible. His ERA on the road was 5. And you want him to pitch on the road, where he sucked, and we had to come back and bail his ass out. I mean, imagine if Soroka goes out and throws daggers in game 1 and we actually fucking win the thing, and then he can go pitch game 4 and win the fucking thing. I mean, that is a huge decision. A huge decision. I know you brought in Keuchel to be the guy, but he never really... I mean, he had stretches where he was impressive, but he was never the guy you really wanted. And I know everybody was just saying, he's got the postseason experience, he's the veteran, and blah, blah, and the blah, and the blah, and the blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like I always say, power pitching wins in the playoffs. Our power pitchers did really well. Our movement guys, with the exception of Tomlin, and our guy that we were depending on to carry us, the guy we paid $13 million to carry us in the playoffs, did shit. And he was a part of getting us to the playoffs. But it's just a fucking shame that decision was made. I still think Soroka would have been the guy, regardless of the splits, because you still could have pitched him on the road and at home.
Yeah, you could. I mean, we discussed this beforehand. We both understood the logic.
Yeah.
Like, if game 1 goes differently, you're set up beautifully by having Soroka there to pitch that game 3 and,
Or 4.
Or 4, and maybe win a series on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't play the second guess game.
But I'm just saying, it's like that was something we
identified beforehand. That's big. That's big.
And I just don't know. Like, you got a guy who's been just, okay. For the most part, and had his stretch where he was good, and then you have the best pitcher on the staff only going 1 game.
In fairness, I thought Keuchel was pulled a little early in game 1.
He was,
which kind of set us up for the bullpen being stretched too thin.
Yeah, it was another classic case of Snicker pulling guys too soon. I mean, even though the Duvall thing worked out, I still would have rather Folty stayed in just because he was like no one could touch him. That slider was beautiful.
Well, you can't second guess the ones that work out too.
But I'm just saying on paper, you can still say if you...
That was a sweet moment when that happened.
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It's just...
I've never been so happy as an Adam Duvall fan.
Oh, yeah. You're a bit Adam Duvall advocate. He made you look pretty smart.
Back for the last year and a half. I even said, Graham and I were throwing up some bros behind us at the Braves game, at game 2. And they were with Graham on that was a terrible decision. I think that guy... I'm pretty convinced as a user of this podcast based off how they were and sure. Some of the – I mean, they made some good brave points, but they were jackasses like us. But he was like, I don't care if this works out. Like, that's just the wrong decision, which is something you say all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, even if he goes yard, you're going to be mad? He's like, yeah. And then 15 seconds later – That was awesome. Hugging, high-fiving the shit. I think I broke some lady's wrist in front of us.
That's fair.
So we got some good moments out of this one. That's the thing about sports, man. Like, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. Like, I mean, we're always going to remember Acuna's playoff
Grand Slam.
Grand Slam last year. I'm always going to remember that, being at that game too, and just how intense that was, with Fulte stepping up, Duvall stepping up, us being at Brewhouse, watching Dansby get that hit.
Me eating my tomato basil soup.
You eating your tomato basil soup.
Wolfing it down, being like, God damn, fuck, that Broncos
are massive. Jesus Christ. I mean, there's good moments, but the shit moments certainly stick with us a little longer, don't they?
They do. So I think the big takeaway from this is maybe Soroka should have pitched game one so he could pitch again, because he's been our best pitcher. Missed opportunities with all the errors the Cardinals made and all the opportunities they gave us. All the guys we got on base that we couldn't drive in. And just
Acuna not running on that double of game one.
That hurts. Sure.
It does suck that our best player, who played the best out of everyone,
still has things
he had those just dumbass moments in game one.
And you really hope that from a maturation standpoint, he can, you know, move forward through that. And I know he publicly apologized to Snicker. He apologized in front of the team when he hit a double in game two. He almost like fell over himself. He was running so hard.
I'll say this though. I feel like all those guys that were giving him shit, Freddie Freeman included, they need to apologize to Acuna.
Yeah. I mean, Freddie did admit, he's like, you can put this whole series on me, which isn't totally true, but you could put a lot of it on him.
Yeah. I mean, if he gets any hits in game four.
Yeah. Even if
he come up with the bases loaded twice?
Yeah. I think. I can't remember. He came up with runners in scoring position multiple times in that game, and he, I think, struck out both times.
And for his defense to slip too. It's just like, that's not the type of, like, I always pictured Freddie Freeman being a big game player.
Yeah. He's starting to develop that unclutch Braves gene. If you look at his postseason statistics, wildcard game, he had like 5 hits. And then the next year in the Dodgers, he hit like 350. And then last year against the Dodgers, he hit like 250. This year, 200. It's just slowly gone down. And I just fear that this unclutch bullshit's just, I don't know what it is. It's hard to explain. It's just like, it feels like every time we get in the postseason, our best players who have been on the team for a while just struggle and scuffle and just can't do shit. And it's so frustrating. And it's just like, I know the pitching's better in the playoffs, but honestly, the only guy who was really that great, well, Wainwright was great and Flaherty was great, but Dakota Hudson wasn't that good. We could have scored 8 runs off that guy. Miles Mikolas, we could have scored 6 or 7 runs off of him. So it's like, this was the one series where we weren't going up against some juggernaut, three-headed monster pitching staff like the Dodgers always have, or the Astros had in the mid-2000s, and things like that, where it was like, this was the best chance we've had in so fucking long, and we just shit the bed like we always do. More talent, better team, more talented, overcame more to get here.
At least we're not the Dodgers.
At least we're not the Dodgers and spent $150 million and blew.
And won like 107 games.
And won 106 games and lost to the Nationals.
And lost back-to-back World Series.
And lost back-to-back. That's true. And we've won a World Series since the Dodgers.
Hey, here's my other silver lining, Graham.
Yeah. Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 88.
Personal silver lining is it couldn't be a better weekend for me to go to Clemson.
Yeah, get the fuck out of town.
So something exciting to look for, but I was kind of thinking, because we always compare this Braves team to the past Braves teams, which is understandable, but you can't truly do it. Like, Freddie's the only guy that was on, what, the 2010 team?
Yeah, I mean, he was
2013.
He was barely on the 2010 team.
So, like, these aren't the same players, although they got an itch of this.
McCann, I guess,
choking.
Is.
Yeah, well, whatever. He's gone now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but McCann's retired.
The point is, the future is certainly bright. And And I'm hoping what we see was kind of like with Clemson. Clemson was always known for choking. They had that catchphrase, Clemsoning. They always had a bunch of talent, get to the big game, somehow lose it at the end. And it was a couple years of Clemsoning where it's like, we got all this fucking talent. We know we should beat these teams. Something goes wrong. And then finally, one day you just break through. And then after that, national championships. So I'm hoping we're just seeing the Clemsoning stages of this core right now.
Of this core,
yes. The Ronald Acuna, Soroka, Albies, Dansby, that core.
Yeah.
This is them taking their hits. They're going to come back hungrier than ever.
Yeah.
And
like, if we win the division next year, I don't want to see any celebration. I want to see like a stoic locker room, because that's not like, don't even celebrate. Don't do it, because that's not like, you can't celebrate until you win a postseason series. Yeah. Anything else is unacceptable. This is already unacceptable.
It is. For some reason, I don't feel as, I mean, I feel shitty.
I feel awful.
I know, but I think like 2013, I felt so terrible with like Chipper retiring and all that.
No, 2012.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I think 2012, I felt so terrible with like Chipper retiring, and that was like truly like the end of an era.
Yes.
That was our last chance. We have more chances, but one of these days we got to do it, Graham.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's going to
be... Are we going to be doing this damn podcast when we're 65?
I'm talking about... Remember in 2024 when Freddie Freeman was retiring and we were up 2-0 in the division series and Adam Cloud Jr. blew that goddamn lead in the 9th inning, each on a fucking closer?
Yeah, I mean, probably so. I would not be surprised.
If you have a child, he cannot be drafted by the Braves. Or me.
Or you?
Yeah. We have that choke gene in us, Adam. We can't do it.
It's true. That would just be sabotaging them.
Exactly. I don't know. I don't know. But, I mean, I think one of these days when the Braves do break through, I won't say when, I'll say if, because who knows, it'll be, like, the sweetest fucking thing, because for the true blue fan out there who's stuck with them through thick and thin, of which I know there are thousands, millions. I mean, this was America's team when we had TBS Superstation. We were on there every night. It will be the sweetest thing. And hopefully it will be an avalanche effect where that's the new standard and we can win a championship or something. Because as much shit as people give Atlanta fans, I'll say this. I mean, like the television ratings were way up. Attendance was way up. We got 2.6 million people inside the building throughout the whole year, with a stadium that only takes 40,000 people. That's really good. People are into this team. People love this team. And the people that come out and spend the money deserve a champion. And we have to strive for that. And anything less is unacceptable with the amount of talent we have in this roster. And I know that the team did better than anyone thought they would this year, too. Remember, I was one of the people that I'll eat the biggest fucking crow that is flying in the sky right now. I said we were going to win 85 games and maybe make the wild card. We kicked ass and won the division. We might, you know, it's possible that we will have absolutely, in the regular season, we destroyed, either way, we destroyed the National League champion in the regular season. We beat the shit out of the Nationals during the regular season. We beat the shit out of the Cardinals in the regular season. But it's not good enough just to do that. And once again, like I said with the Falcons, need a higher standard. And we have to demand things. Like, if we have the same bullshit again next year, I mean, think about the Red Sox. When this stuff happens to the Red Sox, the Red Sox are 1 year removed from winning the World Series. They just fired their general manager for not making the postseason. So we have to not get into a thing like with Bobby, as much as I love Bobby. But it got to the point where it's just like the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Bobby, it's like, that's not acceptable. It's not. And eventually you got to know when time has run out. The Cubs just fired Joe Maddon, who won them their first championship in 108 years. He's only, what, 2-3 years removed from that? And they just said, no, you missed the playoffs. Like, you're done. So I'm just saying, we have to be, as a fan base, as an organization, we can't accept failure. And if it gets to the point where we have 2 more years of this or something, where we get the division series, we have a very talented team, and we lose, you know, you got to change. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, you get what I'm trying to say. I hope.
What the hell are you saying?
Okay.
You know, we're starting to set records like amongst those like Cubs teams that lost year in and year out. I think I heard we've lost like the most consecutive division series.
Yeah, like 10 in a row or something.
Since like all the like the Cubs.
Yeah.
Like before they won the World Series.
It's bad. 8 of those 10 have been won on our home field by another team. SunTrust Park has joined Turner Field as being a house of horrors.
Those visiting club rooms have seen a lot of celebrations.
They have.
Speaking of fans, they need to refund all those poor bastards that went to Game 5.
Yeah. That was fucking bullshit.
Thank the good Lord, you and I did not go.
I looked on Tuesday and I said, no, standing room's only $40. Get there, you know, I wake up early, I'll get there, go to Chop House. And I said, you know what? After we lost that game four like that, I can't put myself through this. If we lose this game, I'm going to be a wreck. I didn't dream it'd be anything like that, but thank Christ I didn't go. And everyone who did, thoughts and prayers.
Sorry.
Sorry, yes. Right. Do you want to talk about this Tomahawk Chop controversy?
I don't want to get too far into it, but I'll just say it's really soft to stop a tradition that's been going on since the early 90s because the opposing pitcher complained about it. Like, not nationwide outcry. Like, there, I mean, there's little pockets of it. But for the opposing pitcher to be like, I mean, I understand his point.
Yeah.
But just the principle that, like, oh, let's change our home field advantage just a tad. And I'm not saying we lost because we didn't have foam tomahawks. But it makes it a different environment. And that just shows weakness to me to cave for game five. Not even game one. Game five. Yeah. The biggest game of the year. That's when you were like, okay, let's not upset the opposing team's pitcher.
Yeah, and I can definitely be sensitive to the guy's point. You know, he is of Native American descent.
Anyway. Maybe he was just trolling, though. He probably doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, who knows? But I'm just saying, like, whatever, regardless. Anyone who's of Native American descent has more of a, should have more of an opinion about the political nature, the morality, whatever you want to say about the tomahawk chop. That's fine. But I agree in the sense, and I thought the Braves initially handled it well when they said, we hear the guy's complaints. We're going to address this after the season. We'll talk about it. And I was like, okay. But yeah, I agree. To just not do it for game five is soft. It's almost as soft as Flaherty hitting Acuna in game five, and then we don't retaliate. I don't know if Flaherty was trying to hit him. He denies he was, but it just seemed like, and there's a lot of chatter going back and forth between Molina, Martinez, Acuna, and Ronald did show his ass again, I think, quite a bit in this series. You know, doing his home run sidestep trot at third base in game one when we're still down by a run, and he's one of the reasons that we don't have an extra run or two. You know, to do that was bullshit. And, you know, mentally he made some mistakes, and I don't really know where I'm going with this. It just feels like this is more things piling up in my head, and I'm just going to get emotional and start crying like a old lady or something in a minute, or a young lady or a young man or whatever. I don't even know what to say to it. But back to the tomahawk chop. I agree with what you're saying. But at the same time, I get where people are coming from with being offended by it. But let's... it's just...
I'm going to take a less neutral stance than you're taking here. There's not that many people offended by it. There's a few vocal minorities that are actually offended by it. And we're listening to them.
Yes.
And, I mean, we're not going to get into all of it, but, like, just don't cave before the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
Address and then it. To have that even be a conversation going on an hour before the game.
Not good.
No.
Not good message to the fan base.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Like I said, address it after the year.
It's true to Atlanta. It's not just the team on the field making mistakes. The front of, no, that's not even front office. I don't know. No, who's in control?
Organization.
Someone in the organization. Yeah. They're choking too.
Yeah.
They had probably had a huge meeting going back and forth. Do we pull the tomahawks? Do we not pull the tomahawks? Sweating left and right.
Yeah. As if
finally someone just blurts off, just pull them.
Yeah.
Just a waste of a bunch of tomahawks too. There's probably pallets of tomahawks just sitting out probably. There.
I think this covers it. I don't have much to say about the Braves at this point. I think we'll mention that the Falcons officially suck more than we ever thought they could.
Hey, plus side, I'm more excited about the Falcons game than I would have been.
Gotta have I don't know if excitement's the word I'll use. I'd say I'm more obligated to watch it than I would be if the Braves were playing at the same time, for example.
Yeah, I've never been so neutral watching the Falcons game Sunday before the Braves game.
Yeah, when I was listening on the radio, I was driving back in town before game three, and everything that was happening, I was like, whatever. Like, of course. like I said, Deshaun Watson's going to kill us. I thought DeAndre Hopkins was going to kill us, but Will Fuller wound up killing us. 215 yards, three touchdowns. He could have had five touchdowns, honestly, because he caught two balls near the goal line that he got stopped at the one-yard line. It was just a complete travesty of a game. At least the offense actually put up some points. But to give up 47 points on defense in today's NFL, regardless of how much of an offensive league it is, just shows how shitty this team is.
I was watching, like, some dude on Twitter does a great job, like, breaking down, like, formations. Mm. And he'll show you the plays, like, with just little dots instead of the players, so you can see. And it's like, it was a 3rd and 4, I think. And we rushed 3, kept 2 back for 2 quarterback spies, and then went man across the board.
And there was no safety help.
No, everyone was just going man. And he just throws it right up over Isaiah. No, I think it was over Trufant this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Isaiah Oliver doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He
got fucking burned. And that's the big problem, I think, with Dan Quinn's system. Like, Kiki Kuti, their 3rd wide receiver on the Texans, is saying this system is bullshit. It is soft. Knows it. It is easy. Everyone knows it. We know exactly how to attack it. And they never make any adjustments. So I'm like, oh, yeah, it sounds about, you know, true to Atlanta. That's Mike Smith, Dan Quinn for you. But it's just incredible to me how Dan Quinn refuses to blitz anybody. He refuses to alter his scheme. His scheme is predicated on players executing. It's a very simple scheme. If the players aren't good in the scheme, we're going to fail. And none of the players are good in the scheme. We don't get any pressure. The Texans have given up at least 2 sacks to opposing defenses going back, I think, 2 years. You know how many quarterback hits we got on Deshaun Watson?
Don't say 0.
1.
1.
Every other week, it was 7 or more from other teams. But we got 1 with our great 4-man pass rush that we're sending. It's unbelievable how fucking full of shit and arrogant Quinn is. Resigning Vic Beasley. Fucking never adjusting in game. Never sending blitzes. Doing the same thing over and over again. Giving up 47 points to the Texans. Getting hosed by Jacoby Brissett and the Colts. I can't remember who that other loser was that tore us up. after that or before that. Whenever the fuck. Who was the other loser? Some bum. Marcus Mariota. Making him look like goddamn Joe Montana. They're one of the worst receiving cores in the league. Their 2 receivers had, the one guy, the A.J. Brown, had 91 yards and 2 touchdowns. The other guy had like 100 yards. I can't remember. Corey Davis had like 120 yards receiving. This is pathetic. I lost complete faith in Arthur Blank as an owner for not firing Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's faith is gone. I don't care if he wins out somehow. Fuck that, man. And it's not going to happen.
If he wins out, we'd be 12-4.
We'd be 12-4.
He's not getting fired.
Okay, that's fine. I know. I'm trying to use some extreme example. But I don't even care if we win this game against the Cardinals. Because it doesn't mean anything. You can't beat any of the teams that are actually decent. You are, in your lifetime as a coach, 1-12 against the AFC. Fuck you. You're not a head coach in the NFL. You're not worthy of this position. You're not worthy of this team. You have squandered talent and a championship window, and he honestly should have been fired after the fucking Super Bowl. Fuck this shit. I'm done with Dan Quinn. And Dimitroff. They both need to be gone. It is over.
I think you saved your anger for the Falcons, Graham.
At least with the Braves, I have something to look forward to.
And I hear what you're saying, but anytime you make absurd statements like he isn't an NFL coach, when he is an NFL coach, you said Adam Duvall's not a
Major League caliber player
either, so...
Over the course of a season, I don't think he is that good.
You just got to, Graham, I think you as a podcaster need to...
But whenever I say this shit, they do really well. So maybe Dan Quinn's going to be like, all right, we're going to completely change our defensive scheme. We're going to come in here really hot, excited, and we're going to do some things differently. And we're going to take advantage of a rookie quarterback who has played 5 games in the NFL, and we're going to send some blitzes, and we're going to make him feel uncomfortable, get out of his comfort zone, we're going to fucking win the thing. But no, what's going to happen is 4-man rush. No one can get pressure. Tack sucks. Vic sucks. Grady Jarrett's the only man on the defensive line. Here's a deep pass over Isaiah Oliver's head. And their whole receiving core is banged up. The only guy they got is Fitzgerald right now. Man Fitzgerald's going to get like 150 yards receiving against
us. Did you know we're actually top 10 in the league in blitzing?
That is shocking.
But we're dead last in pressure.
That's even worse. Holy shit, I thought we never really blitzed that much. No, I usually just see like four guys running or maybe
they're blitzing, they just never even get under the screen.
That's you even, don't even worse. Oh my God. Well, that exposes my ignorance a little bit. And it also makes the joke of the Falcons defense even more of a joke.
Yep. They're trying. They're trying to get pressure.
I just don't see anything. It's like everybody's got so much time to just sit back there. I don't care. Like the Texans have one of the worst offensive lines in the league, Adam. Like I said, they give up at least two sacks every.
Well, a lot of that is Deshaun Watson running into sacks too.
Yeah, but we don't have enough pressure back there.
So he was able to just stick in the pocket with us.
Yeah.
Tack having only half a sack is the biggest surprise of the year for me.
Yeah, like in that Philly game, he didn't get a sack. We got like I think four quarterback hits, like five or six pressures, something like that. I'm totally pulling that out of my ass, but I'm just saying like he was in Wentz's face against a relatively decent offensive line. So it's just like that's totally fallen off. Desmond Trufant doesn't look as nearly as good as he did. It's like once we lost Keanu Neal, it was like all hope is lost. Like the defense just can't do anything. There's a lot of just guys who don't really know how to respond to, you know, being basically having their manhood questioned as well. I mean, like when people are asking like what the hell is going on, no one has a viable answer and everyone just looks kind of defeated. I mean, I watched Matt Ryan's press conference with the sound off after the Texans game. Well, I think it was in between an inning and game three. And I was like, oh, Matt Ryan at the podium. And I was like, I didn't even turn it on. He just looked so dejected. Like the face, the body language, the look on his face, he just looked like a totally defeated man. He's got to feel defeated after, you know, he put up 32 points, and that's not good enough. That should be more than good enough.
Yeah, but that was just a joke. Like the way that we actually battled back to be in position to somehow win that game.
They were in it. I mean, the offense.
And then the defense they just marched down the field, 3-4 plays, boom, 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 no problem.
Like, yeah, and just the inability to make any adjustments. I mean, and the fact that it's literally Dan Quinn calling the plays. I mean, he's got no recourse anymore. He has laid his life on the line here.
We got to go back and wonder about drafting two offensive linemen in the first round now instead of addressing all these issues on defense.
I wonder if it's more of the scheme doesn't suit these players or if the message is lost. I don't know because I feel like we have – yeah, I mean, I think you can look at a lot of the defensive issues with, you know, Tack is clearly a subpar player in my eyes at this point. Vic Beasley is the worst. You know, even Deion Jones has been, you know, he's not really stuffing people the way he used to.
It's not making a difference.
Yeah, it's like we're giving up big runs. You know, we're allowing Carlos Hyde, who has one of the worst yards per carries in the NFL for a lead back. I mean, he only got 63 yards or something, but I mean, like he was getting good rushes all day and a touchdown. It's just like, I don't know. There's just nothing really more to say about them. There's bad. They're bad. There's a bad team, bad defense with a suspect offense that can sometimes do well, but has a shitty running game and is very one-dimensional, very predictable. And in the meantime, our the great Kyle Shanahan's just leading San Francisco to a 4-0 record out west.
Yeah, someone was asking, they're like, do you think Shanahan will come back and be the head coach of the Falcons?
No way.
He's got a better situation in San Fran now than he does than the Atlanta roster.
Yeah, the defense in San Francisco is lethal. They're top five across the board. And the guy who's the head coach is actually doesn't give a shit about defense at all. Or not that he doesn't give a shit, but you know, that's not his specialty. A guy whose specialty it is.
But you hire a defensive coordinator.
Yes, you do. But a guy whose specialty it is to be a defensive guy has one of the worst defenses in the league, other than the Redskins and the Dolphins. And there's probably one more I'm forgetting, but like, we're like top, like bottom five worst defense in the league. You look at every single, I don't care if you're looking at, if you're looking at normal statistics or advanced metrics, Pro Football Focus, like our efficiency, like we're just pathetic.
You know, what sucks for Coach Burrow personally when he gets fired, he's not going to be able to come back as a D coordinator anywhere. What has he done? Like, you look at the Falcons' defenses since he's been here. No one's going to want to hire that guy as a D coordinator. He's going to have to be a special teams guy again.
The best defense we had, I would argue. I mean, you can look at that second half of the year and the Super Bowl run when he took over as D coordinator. But for a full season, the best defense we have is that 2017 team with Marquand Manuel, the team that beat the Rams in the playoffs. I mean, that wasn't like a world-beating defense, but we We stop people from scoring.
It just sucks that, I mean, the day after baseball season is one of the worst sports days for me.
Which you look forward to every year now. Not look forward to, but you know it's coming in a dark and depressing way.
Yeah. Opposite of look forward to.
Yes. You dread. I dread.
Yes. Yeah. And it's here, and we got this shitty football team, so we can't even, like, get excited about them. We should get excited about the United, Graham.
They're the only team in the city that wins shit, quoted by Joseph Martinez, which is fair.
But we're not.
But we're not. It's just not in our blood. I want to get excited about the Hawks, but, you know.
They I did appreciate when they put the Hawks on at the bar.
Yes.
During the
preseason game.
They said, something to look forward to.
And everyone was like, Aah! That was the loudest
thing. DeAndre Hunter looks solid through the first couple of preseason games.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to step right in and be an NBA player.
I couldn't even really watch it. I mean, I would, like, stare at it every once in a while, but I was so depressed about the Braves.
I've learned about myself this week. Oh, yeah. How much of my free time goes into
sports.
I just listened to, like, a shit ton of, like, Joe Rogan podcasts yesterday instead of sports, which is good change of pace.
Sure.
But, yeah, it was weird. I didn't even realize until the day after that the Nationals had come back and beat the Dodgers.
That was the worst part is I came home and I looked at the score and I was like, okay, good. I'll watch the Nationals lose and it'll make me feel a lot better. And then back-to-back home runs off Kershaw. Grand slam Howie Kendrick in the eighth inning or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, my fuck. These assholes are going to go to the NLC.
They're getting what we want.
Yes.
Their 3, 4, 5 hitters stepped up.
Yeah. Soto, Rendon. I tell you what, I back up a truck full of money to Anthony Rendon. I say, whatever the fuck you want.
Although now if the Nationals are like World Series contenders, he'd probably just stay there.
Who knows? I'm just saying, he's going to go into free agency. He's going to test the waters. I would do whatever it took. But unfortunately, I know their payroll limitations, our financial flexibility we covet. We will probably not cross that line.
No. We'll get into off-season shit later.
Yeah.
Let's tie a bow up on 2019, Graham.
Failure of a season, although it was fun. But a failure nonetheless. We'll hope that we do better next time. But like I said, stick with this team. If they break through, it will be glorious. And they have the tools to do it. The only question is, can they? When it absolutely matters. Regular season doesn't matter anymore. It matters to get there, but you know what I'm saying. Do they have the mental fortitude and the clutch ability to come alive when it matters most? We'll be waiting to find out the answers, like the rest of you.
Another answer, how hurt was Freddie Freeman? That'll come out soon.
And I hope that he gets surgery. The fact that he didn't get surgery and this has been lingering for years is beyond frustrating. You've got to think, if he's totally right, he's more of a factor at the plate.
What, are you a doctor now?
But I'm just saying, he says he's dealt with it for a couple of years and he never got it cleaned up. Because he's like, oh, we just rested and it was fine. But why not just clean it up in the off season?
Maybe the doctors advised against it.
Maybe so. I don't know all the answers, but
you have some of the answers, Graham.
Elbow gate. I know about wrists, Adam, but I don't really know anything about elbows.
Yeah, we have learned what a wrist is.
Yes, we are smarter for it.
That could be our off season project. What is an elbow?
What is an elbow? Why does it hurt?
How do they function?
Worse than other things.
The heel of my foot has been hurting for a while. I'd like to know why that hurts.
We'll talk about heels next time, too.
Okay.
I think the next podcast will just be an anatomy lesson, because we still got another, week or so before the Hawks actually start?
Well, here's the thing. I know what my heel is.
Hmm.
I just don't know why it hurts or how to fix it. Because here's the kicker with heels. You're walking on them all day.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so there's no way to really rest it.
Right.
Unless you're sedentary.
So maybe me and Freddie can get our ailments cleared up at the same time?
Yeah, get us some inside information.
Okay. I'll go find Freddie's doctor. I'm sure elbow and heel doctors are the same thing, right?
Yeah, totally. If you specialize in elbow, you better specialize in a heel.
Right.
If you don't, then you should have your medical license taken away from you.
Or you're just not reaching as many potential clientels.
Yeah, you're limiting yourself.
Yeah. Just irresponsible.
Yeah.
Well, this was something.
I was expecting some catharsis, but I got nothing out of it. Not even nothing. You know what I mean? I don't feel any better.
Well, yeah, the results are the same.
Right. But, you know, it's like therapy. You expect talking about it make you feel better. It does. It makes you feel shittier. Eventually, you may feel better if the therapy's good. But when you first talk about your problems, you're going to feel like shit because it's jostling a bunch of stuff that you don't want to talk about or hear. It makes you vulnerable.
I'm more of a repressing problems type of guy myself.
Classic white guy.
Yeah. You just shove those things way down there like Hank Hill.
And then they come out in other ways that are not really related to what you're upset about. Other aspects of your life are affected.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to just flip on somebody.
Exactly.
For no good reason. Sorry, sir, we're out of Miller High Life. What the fuck is the matter with you? You go back there and you find one now. Sorry. Is that going to wrap up the show?
I think we'll just let this one...
Yeah, no TBS music. We don't deserve it.
Yeah. This will be, we'll have a song here for you all that will wrap you in a bed of misery and depression. That's very appropriate. Enjoy.
Ooh, Johnny Cash Hurt?
No.
Shadows are falling, and I've been here all day. It's too hot to sleep. Time is running away. Feel like my soul has turned into steam. I've still got the scars, but the sun in me. There's not even room enough to be anywhere. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. And my sense of humanity has gone down the drain. Behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain. She wrote me a letter, and she wrote it so kind. She put down in writing what was in her mind. I just don't see why I should even care. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. And I've been to London, and I've been to Gamery. I followed the river, and I got to the sea. I've been down on the bottom of a world full of lies. I ain't looking for nothing in anyone's eyes. Sometimes my burden is more than I can bear. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. looks like I'm moving, but I'm standing still. Every nerve in my body is so aching and numb, I can't even remember.